What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, and welcome back. It's another episode of What is TWS podcast. I'll number this one. We have 49. I only know we have 49 because it's one away from 50.
50.
And counting down. So trying to plan something big for the next episode. Not sure what it's going to be. But stay tuned, people. It's going down. That was weak. Anyway, man.
It's been a long week. We ain't not even through it yet.
Yeah, a lot is happening. We got so many topics I want to touch on. I know we won't be able to hit them all in this episode, but it's always good to have more content than not enough.
Yeah, we got some important ones coming out. We got a lot of views, people. Stay with us. If we piss you off, fuck it, though.
Yeah. As always, I am J.Dot Flan.
And this is Rich Nerd.
Yes, sir. And we are the White Pants Society.
Definitely.
But
got my blue pants on today.
I never wear white pants. I'm against it. I'm totally against dudes in white pants. And I get to like my dude rules later. That's part of my rant.
I'm not gonna say that I wouldn't wear white pants. I just right now at this moment currently don't have a pair in my closet.
Yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't do it. I can't do it. It's just not me. I'm not dissing anybody who does it. I just I have a specific set of laws that I live by, and that's not included in my bylaws. But first, I want to say thank you to the people that are reaching out to me right now. I did post a status about dealing with a little bout of depression on Facebook, and I'm getting a lot of people reaching out, you know, to me on Facebook and other avenues to show their support, and I appreciate it. I'm good, you know. I do want to let everybody know that I'm fine. I go through these issues from time to time, and you know, right now I am on some antidepressants and, you know, taking my medication to try to level things out. But really, I just wanted to talk about it. I wanted to say it, you know, outward. You know, I wanted to say it out where everybody can see, because that's my way of dealing with things. Like, if I can own something and
take away its power,
And if I can own a situation and be completely comfortable, you know, with the situation, with the fact that I deal with depression and I take medication for it, and, you know, some days are worse than others. You know, that allows me to deal with stuff. My strategy in the past had been like going into hiding, and I can tell you that didn't always work. It never worked, and it only made things like way worse. So this is the brand new Flan, grown up, got a daughter. You know, when shit is going on with me, I'm just going to talk about it. I mean, that's what this podcast is for. That's what I kind of created this public persona to allow me to do. Just be open about who I am, my opinions on things. And it helps me cope, and hopefully it helps somebody else. You know, hopefully I'll talk about something or say something, or just me, you know, admitting the fact that I'm, you know, fighting depression right now might let somebody know that they're not the only one. So that was the whole point behind that. Please don't worry. I'm good. It's just another week in the life of Flan. Sipping on what I'm sipping is a Ninja Bachelor Party.
Yeah.
Ninja Bachelor Party.
End up crazy.
From Juice Land. Shout out to Caesar. I know he's a Juice Land fan. I think I've seen him with a Ninja Bachelor Party on Facebook a couple times. So I know he's got like pineapples and jalapenos, celery, and some other stuff. I don't know. It's growing on me. It didn't taste that great the first couple of sips, but Couple sips, and I'm dealing with it. So let's get to what's transpired in our lives, Rich.
Yeah, well, do you got a rant? I got a rant.
I got a little bit of a rant. So, and we'll get, so this weekend or Friday, you and I and the missus,
yeah,
went to see.
It's good times too.
Went to see Odyssey.
Yeah. But it was a good concert.
You know, introduced me to some artists I didn't know. Sir the Baptist.
It's more active than I thought it was going to be, but it was a good concert.
It was very demanding. It was a lot of stand up, sit down. Wasn't no sit down, but get in closer, back up, come over here, jump around, dance.
A lot going on.
Say this. It was a lot of instructions. But Sir the Baptist, that was an interesting act. I'm definitely... That one song that everybody want a bad girl where the good ones at, I can't find that one. I looked for him on Spotify and I found his music, but I can't find the one song that I really wanted to play. But, and I discovered a new theme song thanks to, was it Olivier
St. Louis.
How I Go Rich? Help me out. I couldn't care less about you. That's my new super petty theme song.
I couldn't care less
about you. Yeah, that's my new super petty theme song. But all right, so went to the show, had a good time at the show. Odyssey was the main act. If you follow me on Twitter, you knew, or you followed the site What Is TWS on Twitter, you know the whole week I was posting and promoting this show and you know, giving you Odyssey music, YouTube clips. Did a whole Spotify playlist on Friday with like my 20 favorite Odyssey songs. So I'm a huge Odyssey fan. Been for a long time. You know, he's from the DMV. So it was a dope show. And after the show, Odyssey's out and, you know, got like a line going, people, you know, to shake his hand, you know, take a picture with him or whatever. So I'm in my TWS shirt. And you've probably seen the picture on Instagram if you follow us at all. And, you know, so the topic came up about going to take a picture with Odyssey, right? So I say, because this is one of my laws, I don't take pictures with dudes. And this is how I feel about it, Rich. Like, all right. Like, when I say I don't take pictures with dudes, it's like I don't go approach a male celebrity like, can I get a picture with you? Like, that's not something I'm comfortable doing. I don't feel like that's a good look for me or something that I want to do. Now, I'm obviously an Odyssey fan. I paid to come see the man. It's no like this to Odyssey. Like, I don't want to take a picture with Odyssey or I feel like I'm too important to take a picture with Odyssey. I paid to come see him. I spent an entire week, you know, promoting the show to the point that the venue mentioned us in a tweet saying that the show had there was such high demand for the show, they had to move it to a bigger stage. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of want to pat myself on the back and take a little credit for that. I feel like I had something to do with that. So that's how big of a fan I am. I'm never going to steal any shine away from Odyssey. Never try to downplay, you know, who he is or how much I enjoy his music or how big of a fan I am of his. But I'm not the kind of person to walk up to a dude and be like, can I take a picture with you? It just don't sit right with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just one of my many man laws. And I took some flack for that. And I'm hopefully next episode, I'll get to have the actual conversation with the person that gave me the flack. But it was a comment made about Willie Lynch and some stuff. So that's my rant. I want people to understand why I don't take pictures with dudes. I'm never going to walk up to, if Jay-Z walked in, you know I'm a big Jay-Z fan. Jay-Z walked in here, I'm going to shake his hand. I'm going to tell him I'm a fan. I might quote some of my favorite Jay-Z lyrics. It's going to be clear that I have the utmost respect and admiration for this person. But I'm not asking for no picture with
him. Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel different about it. I don't want to walk up to you. I don't want us to... We ain't got a hug. We ain't got to embrace you. I don't need all of that extra affection. We can stand side by side and take a picture. Doesn't matter. I saw Mahershala Ali in the street. Walking down the block right after he finished shooting Luke Cage. And I was like, oh, it was good. He said it was good. Me and him stopped, chat for a second, gave me a pound. Renee snapped the picture of us, went on about his business. Asked me for directions to Starbucks and left.
I mean, and that's cool. Like, if you were having a conversation with the dude and Renee decided to take a picture, you didn't walk up to the dude and say, hey, or while you was talking, hey, you mind if I get a picture with you? Like, that's the line for me.
But then at the same time, I mean, at the Odyssey concert, he was literally standing there to take pictures.
Like, the only reason I took the picture was, you know, for the brand.
But he, so it wouldn't, but I feel like it wouldn't have necessarily been you asking him to take a picture. He was in the picture taking line, taking pictures with people.
I would not have been in that line because that to me, like standing at the moment, when the moment you get in that line, you're saying, I want to take a picture with you and I'm going to wait. Like that's even worse to me. I'm going to wait in line.
I don't know how long I would have necessarily waited in
that line. That's how much I want to take.
We were two people behind. The girls were done. And that the line looked longer than it was because of that one guy who was taking up spaces.
No, this is no diss to you, Rich. I understand. I understand why we did it. You know, like my reasoning for doing it was from a marketing branding prospect. It was a good look for us to be in a picture.
We spent the whole week talking about this guy. We're gonna take the picture.
We're gonna take the picture, and I took the picture. I don't smile in any pictures, so don't nobody comment on that. Like I just don't. I'm not a picture. I don't like to take pictures. Period. You know.
Yeah. Every time we take a picture, you always run to the side.
Yeah, I'm not a picture person. I don't do selfies. I have several laws that I live by. I don't enforce these laws on anybody else. I don't make anybody else or judge people who do things differently. I don't take selfies. I don't ask for pictures from dudes. Fair enough. It's just what it is. But somebody gonna have to explain to me this Willie Lynch thing. We're gonna talk about that.
Another episode.
Another episode. But what else was I was gonna say something else about this. I lost it. It'll come back to me. All right, but Rich, what's been going on with you?
All right, so what I wanted to talk about, because the half don't make no sense. Have you seen these little the fidget spinners that everyone's got?
I got one.
So why do you have one?
It's like a little fidget stress reliever spinner.
See, so this is why it bothers me.
All right.
I have cousins with autism.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who I fidget. You know, so since Renee's met me, like, every time we go out, she'll randomly, like, she'll get a piece of gum. Finish eating her gum, she always still, like, her candy wrapper in my pocket or her pen in my pocket or whatever it is because she knows that I'm always standing there. My hand is in my coat pocket or whatever, and I'm fidgeting and I'm playing with stuff. So she actively, like, subconsciously, she just does that because she knows if she does that, like, I'll be calm. Mm-hmm. Like, I start to get bothered or antsy or whatever, I just always have something on me. So I'm the type of person that would have a fidget spinner. All of these goddamn kids out here with fidget spinners, playing with them for the sake of playing with it. It's like, it almost feels as if you're taking something away from the person who actually needs it or not necessarily that you're empowering it and like you're making it okay, because it shouldn't be the fact that it's not okay, but you're taking something that's literally a tool that helps this person to cope. You know what I mean? It's like you're making light of it. So maybe that's not true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel the way about it.
You feel the way about it.
Why you gotta... all the toys in the world, and you got to steal a toy from an autistic kid? Damn.
Well, one, I had no idea it had anything to do with autism. Mm-hmm. I just, you know. And some of them are pretty cool. Like, you know, they'll hover. You can spin it fast enough. They'll hover.
Then they got the little one with the cube. And one side got one side got a scroller. One side got ball bearings. One side got a button. One side got a clicker. So it's lots of different things. And I actively use that stuff all the time because I just need some. I keep my chapstick in my pocket so I can roll the bottom of it. And I keep paper in my other pockets. I can fold it in my pocket. Then I got a pen that I click all the time. I'm weird. I don't care.
Let me find out you're on the spectrum.
Listen, on the spectrum. I might be. I don't care. But, you know, I deal with my shit. But still, I just think it's, I don't know. I look at it and all of these kids are playing with it now and it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm fake mad for nothing. It's just weird.
I got one. I actually bought one through a vaping website. So I guess like, smokers and nicotine and all that, maybe it goes hand in hand. I never know what to do.
Nervous issues.
I never know what to do with my hands, and sometimes it helps.
That's what she said.
I've never heard that one. No, not gonna go there. All right. So I guess that takes care of the. But what did you think of the Odyssey show? Because
This is the second time I went.
Yeah.
I liked it. I actually did like it. Thank you. Shout out to Jay Flynn for hooking me up with Odyssey. Not hooking me up with Odyssey. You know what I mean? Making me aware of who Odyssey was.
Now you're making the picture seem weirder and weirder.
For making me aware of who Odyssey was. Like, I've heard his music before, but I wasn't necessarily an Odyssey fan. And then when we went last year, when he told me about it, I YouTubed him, started listening to his music. Album came out, downloaded that, Spotify to listen to that. The new one, added it to Spotify, listened to that. So, I mean, I actually like a lot of his music. And so when we were at the concert, every time a song came on that Renee knew, she turned around and looked at me and started laughing and smiling because I walk around the house singing the goddamn Odyssey song. So now that I'm trying to think of one, I'm having a brain fart. But it's like a good like 5 or 6 that I just spit like all the time in the house. And I'm all the time walking around the house singing, quoting lyrics and stuff. The same way that you and I do back and forth all the time at work or here or whatever. Do it at home too. So she was recognizing songs and she did that. So I said it to say I like the concert. I like what he stands for. I like his music. You know, I feel like sometimes I feel like Odyssey could probably be bigger than he is now. But at the same time, I feel like he isn't necessarily bigger than he is now because he's staying true to what his music is to him.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily selling out for the system and trying to do it the system's way. He's like making his music. So I definitely can appreciate that. But I thought it was a good concert.
Yeah, it was a dope show. It was a dope show. I know what I was going to say now. The other thing I had against taking the picture was that...
Nigga was sweaty.
Nigga was sweaty. I ended up with another dude sweat. Like, I can't be the only dude that has these idiosyncrasies. I don't want another man's sweat on
not
me.
Not for nothing. I'm not. See, that's why I'm not big on organized sports. Especially when we was in gym class and we had to do shirts versus skins. Can I wear long sleeve? Because I'm not with it. But I knew he was going to be sweaty because I saw his kicks and I got those sneakers. But then he had a Nike shirt and I was like, that's one of them limited edition Japan versions, and it was the dry fit. So I was like, that shit is absorbing all of the sweat from this hot ass stage. I was hot, my shit was cotton. So I was like, I know he gonna be. As soon as he came out, and I leaned to the side, tucked my shoulder in a little bit, and I was like, just get through it. He had his whole armpit on your shoulder though.
Hey, man, so man. I don't want no man sweat on no other man sweat on me. It reminds me of the time I played basketball with Tammy's little brother, and that dude was like a wet seal or something. Like he was caught in an oil slick or something.
Speaking of that, what movie or video or whatever it was, the two dudes were playing basketball, and one guy was leaning over playing defense, and a dude jumped. And
yeah, it was Along Came Polly when like his face.
So that's fucking disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I couldn't. I'd have had to leave.
That was my other qualm with taking the picture. I ended up with another dude with sweat like on my shirt and stuff.
I couldn't do it.
It bothered me. It bothered me. All right, let's get into some more important, relevant type stuff.
Yeah, cause, two big things happened in Texas at that.
Yeah.
Both in Texas.
Both
crazy.
In Texas.
Two incidents happened in Texas this week. So we're going to go over both of them separately. First one, you probably know the name by now. And you're probably thinking the same thing that we're thinking. You wish you didn't know his name by now. Especially under the circumstances of which we came to realize it. Talking about Jordan Edwards. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, crazy. And it just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say things had died down. But, you know, I felt like it had been a little while.
We got a little bit better.
Since we had.
Not better, but we just, it's not been so prevalent.
So, yeah. And that's what I don't get about this whole thing. It's like, all right, I get in trouble in the house for at nighttime coming upstairs to bed without turning the alarm on. It took like maybe 4 or 5 times my wife getting upset that I came upstairs and didn't turn the alarm on. Before now, every time I come upstairs,
you make sure the light.
I make sure the alarm.
Yeah.
Like as soon as I see the stairs, like the thought pops in my head, like, oh, did I turn the alarm on? I'll turn the alarm on. How many times does something like this have to happen
before
the police start to feel like that? Like, hey, before I pull this trigger, am I sure about this? Like you would think at this point, the police would be so cautious that we would have overcorrected and maybe had a problem in the other direction, that they wasn't shooting enough people. Like, if that could possibly be a problem. But it's like nobody's facing any consequences, so nothing is changing. Nothing is getting better at all. Like, nobody, a car can be moving away from you, and you pull out a party with teenagers, a car driving away from you. You get out the car with a rifle.
All right, so back up a little bit for the people that essentially don't know.
I'm talking like you know the story.
So for the people that don't know what happened, Jordan Edwards, 15-year-old kid, Dallas, Texas, goes to a house party with his brother and some friends. His brother was the driver. They apparently started getting rowdy. They claimed that there was underage drinking at the party. Some shots rang out. Jordan Edwards and his brother therefore went to their vehicle. The police show up, shoot three shots into the car, shooting Jordan Edwards fatally in the head. He dies a little while after that at the hospital. His brother, who was the driver of the vehicle, gets taken into custody, thrown in jail. Mind you, he just saw his brother get shot in the head.
Right.
He's immediately taken into custody, thrown into a jail cell while his brother is dying, bleeding out on a hospital bed. Cops say they show up. It was reports of underage drinking. The car started driving towards them aggressively, and that's why the officer had to take matters in his own hands, shooting the shots into the car, and I guess taking control of the situation. Then it comes out later, according to body cam footage, which these assholes, like, do they forget that they're wearing body cams? Do they think they have to turn it off? And I believe their body cam footage automatically records locally and remotely uploads or some shit like that, so that way you can't really tamper with it. I don't know for sure. I have to research that. Body cam footage shows basically the shots ring out. The boys get into the car, try to flee the area because they don't want to get shot.
Right.
And the officer then pulls out a rifle. First of all, who the fuck walks around with a rifle? Like a fucking a rifle? If you go to subdue a situation, you got your handgun, your 38, your Beretta, your pistol, whatever right. you got.
A house party with kids.
Yeah, a house party with kids. You can't whip. Clearly, you didn't whip out the rifle for protection. You have to mount a rifle. You have to hold a rifle. You have to prep a rifle to shoot. Therefore, it was entirely this asshat. He was premeditated. He went there with the intention of shooting somebody. Footage shows the car leaving the scene, and then the officer shot three shots into the car, shooting Jordan Edwards in the head, and then immediately taking his brother into custody. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, it turns out nobody in the car was drunk.
Nope.
Yeah, the car was moving away from the officer.
Nobody was drunk, moving away from the officer, moving away from the fire, from the firefight, moving away from danger.
Right.
And they were killed trying to get away from danger. Oh, the fucking irony. By the people who were showing up to protect them from that danger.
Yeah, right. But like I said, again, like, you know, I don't have to get in trouble, but so many times before I start to be overly aware of every time I'm in that instance, that I should do this. Like, how many times? Like, we're not sitting people down, like, after every police shooting and saying, all right, folks, before you pull the trigger, like, you know, have these thoughts or something. Like, there's no new training that's coming out or anything. Like,
it's crazy.
It's not getting any better. And it's starting to feel blatant. And then when you had these conversations with people about Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, because we haven't even heard that phrase in a while. When you had these conversations with people about Black Lives Matter, have all of these, you know, excuses and these reasons why these kids are getting shot, the reasons why, you know, it's not necessarily a problem or it's not a racial thing or something. But I mean,
it's
help me with this one. This was not This is not, you know, somebody reaching for something. This is not. Nope.
There was no reason. Just like so many other ones, there was no reason. It's not justified. So this one, the police immediately knew it wasn't justified. They knew he was in the wrong. Police department fired him immediately. They fired him, said he went against protocol. My guess is after that last shit happened in Dallas, they don't need no more bullshit on their head. They don't want no more officers going down. They're out of it. They're washing their hands. That's what it feels like. So apparently the officer has a few days to contest his firing, which, I mean, I don't see, like, on the basis of what grounds. And I believe the parents or the family have to wait until this is finalized to see whether or not, not to see whether or not, but to see how they're going to file suit, because it's either against the man or against the officer. They're both one and the same, but you know what I mean? The stipulations of the suit will change depending on his current ranking and position. Overall, I just think it was bullshit.
Yeah, and that's the part I kind of don't understand. Like, regardless of what happens to him now, at the time he did what he did,
he was an
acting as an officer. So I don't see why it should make any difference what comes of his termination, whether he, you know, whether he appeals or not, or, you know, whatever. I'm just.
Yeah.
Just something's got to give. And this is what I want. All right. So the Dear White People thing is like, you know, I haven't seen the show yet. I saw the movie. But I haven't seen the show yet. I heard it's pretty good. But I want to do a Dear White People. A Dear White People, the last thing you want is for an entire subset of the population to feel like their lives don't matter. Like they are backed into a corner. And
that's when shit is going to get real.
That's when shit is going to go the exact wrong way. Nobody wants that to happen. Not black folk. Nobody wants that to happen. But that is what's happening.
And see, this is the part that people do not understand. We're living right now. We're trying to take care of ourselves. We're trying to take care of our families. We're just trying to get to work, get to school, get back home, and be okay. People are trying to, you know... Every race, every creed has a bad egg. But for the most part, everybody's trying to do what they got to do. We just trying to get home, get back safe to our families. But the more you do this shit, the more people feel like they don't have anything to fight for. They don't have anything left. Yeah. And then that's when it's like, well, if I'm going to die anyway, if you're going to kill me anyway, I'm going to do it on my terms. And guess what? Revolt.
Yeah.
That's when that shit... Y'all not watching these motherfucking movies. Y'all not listening to... what these motherfuckers are saying, this is how this shit begins.
I'd say that this is the last thing you want is for, you know, a large group of people to start to feel completely disenfranchised, to feel like their lives aren't worth anything, that you don't respect them or hold them in any regard. Because when you have nothing to lose, you know,
go all out.
You go all out. You don't want that to happen. So no. Something's got to happen. And I look at this the same way I look at like domestic violence and rape, like. Like domestic violence or you know, abuse against women is not a women's issue. It's a men's issue. And until men take it seriously and we start policing each other and doing what we have to do as men, it won't get better. Mm-hmm. And in this situation, this is not a black issue. This is a police issue. And until we can start seeing that police are taking this seriously and doing something about it and making some changes, it's not going to get better. So people need to start seeing some change. People need mm-hmm. to start seeing something happen.
Something. And the shit that's crazy, like we said on plenty of episodes before, they won't even admit that there's a problem. Like, people won't admit that there's a problem.
Yeah.
They look at you in your face and just gaslight you. Just like I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Just pretend like nothing is fucking there. Like, what the fuck?
More black people are killed by other black people than, you know, so why aren't you upset about that?
We are upset about that. We complain about that all the goddamn time. We march for that. We advocate for that at the same time. But at the same time, by the same breath, you're killing us for no reason because you woke up and said, well, there's a black man. A black man's going to kill a black man anyway, so I might as well do it.
And more white people are killed by white people. And more, it's a matter of location. Mm-hmm. You know, you commit crimes against the people that
are close to you. Yeah.
That's, you know, I hate when people bring that one up. Like, you know, because black on black crime is not a thing. It doesn't exist. It's just
like white on white crime is not a thing. It's just crime. It's just crime. It's fucking crime. Most crimes are crimes of fucking opportunity.
But yeah.
So, speaking of crime, see, that brings us into this next shit. Because right. I thought that this was fucking stupid. So the other thing that happened, Kendrick's white, who subsequently is a black man, a UT student, stabbed and killed another UT student whose name is Harrison Brown, who's subsequently a white guy. I don't know what happened. Reports are that he snapped. He had some mental instabilities. Not sure quite what happened. The reports aren't out yet. But essentially, he's on campus, had a Bowie-style knife, stabbed Harrison. Harrison killed him, injured several other students. And it's overall, I think the whole thing is tragic. It's never anything good when it comes to loss of life, especially with a young person going to school, trying to better themselves, make a better life for them, make a life for his family. Says he was heavily into music and he was honors. So, I mean, both of them are actually apparently really good students. I don't know what caused this. But what makes me mention this is the aftermath of what happened. Next day on UT campus, someone posts flyers all over the place that says, if you're around blacks, never relax. And, you know, I just found that totally, totally fucking offensive. Totally offensive. I'm not excusing this man for what he did. I'm not excusing Kendrick's at all. He took a life. He deserves what's coming to him, regardless of what happens. If he needs help, get him help. You know, if he had malice in his heart, then he deserves to go to jail, regardless of the fact he committed a crime. But all of a sudden, immediately, just all of the racial stereotypes and epithets and everything that's flying around at the campus, I think that's uncalled for. That stuff has no place at a place of higher education. And then not only that, you know, as soon as that happened, and I'm thinking back to all of the crimes that have happened at schools and at public places at the hands of white people, walking in the churches and killing 9 and 10 people and going to schools with heavy artillery and shooting up the place and stuff like that. As soon as that happens and it's a white guy that just killed 30 people, you know, everybody's screaming, you know what, he's innocent until proven guilty. He was a good kid. I don't know what happened. He must have had a stressful day. All we have to do now is just, you know, lend our love and support to those who have fallen and their families and, you know, learn for the future and move on and rebuild. A black person stabs one person one time and all of a sudden everybody's in an uproar. Oh, this is him. Here go these niggers again and they fucking being violent. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, what the fuck is the bullshit?
It's, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I agree and disagree with you a little bit. One, I don't know who did these flyers. I think the overall consensus across the board in Austin, in Texas, is that that's unnecessary. That's completely offensive, very racist. Nobody's happy about it. I don't think people are jumping on that bad. I don't know who did it. There's obviously, you know, a sect of people around that campus that, you know, have views that they want to push and saw this as an opportunity to push those views. But I do think that when white people commit these crimes, that they get labeled, that the racial aspect of it gets brought out. The difference is that for some reason, and this is probably because I don't want to use the term they, because white people are more in power and they get to color the narrative a little bit, is that when these crimes happen, when these white kids shoot up 30 people, even white people get to blame it on a subset of white people. So we talk about it being racial, but even white people get to say that's them, those neo-Nazis, mm-hmm. or that's them, the alt-right, or that's them, you know, these messed up goth kids or something, you know, like we... Even white people get to point at another section of white people and say, it's not us, it's them, you know. But when it happens and it's a black person, it seems to be like, you know, ain't no subsects of black people. It's just black people. Y'all, mm-hmm. are, you know, we don't get to say
all the same.
It's just those whatever. Because they call us all thugs. We all criminals. We all drug dealers. We all of these things. We don't get that opportunity to, like, separate ourselves from just a group of us making mistakes or a group of people, you know, doing something different. And I think, you know, when it happens and it's white people that commit these crimes and they get the opportunity to color the narrative a little bit, they get to segment themselves away from themselves and say, it's not us, it's them. They still get to do the us and them. And we don't necessarily mm-hmm. get that luxury. But that's the luxury of power. You know, that's the luxury of controlling the media. That's the luxury of that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm saddened in this country completely by we've lost an appreciation for life as a whole.
Yeah, there's no yeah. empathy. It's like our overall sense of humanity is like gone.
Every time I see, and I talked about this in episodes before, every time I see a celebration because of someone's death, no matter how, you know, bad this person was, you know, when that guy committed suicide, that shot the man in Ohio, and people, you know, he's gone, you know, or people were upset that he got to take himself out and that the police didn't get to kill him. You know, they wanted him to die in a hail of gunfire, you know. Life is life, and we got to start valuing life and not trying to find these reasons that this life is less valuable, or this life can be taken, or this life should be, you know, we should sell. I hate to see celebrating anyone's death, and I think it just lends to this attitude that life is not that important, and life can be a bargaining chip. Life can be a, you know, like, that's what these people are. Some of these people that are making these statements out there, like, I'm going to kill a bunch of people because taking lives, you know, is going to move my agenda further. Like, because lives are not, like, you know, lives aren't as important. They're just looked at as a means to an end. I just have to take enough life to get attention. Like, you know.
It's crazy.
Like, that's how little we appreciate life. It's just something.
Man, it kills me. Like you just mentioned, all of those stories that we were watching, and reporting on last week. How little regard people have for life. You know, I get it. You know, he killed this man, and that wasn't deserved. But at the same time, to celebrate the fact that he then killed himself, how are you celebrating a murder, regardless of how it happened? How are you celebrating loss of life? You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, he died, fine. But he still has family and friends that cared about him. Was he a criminal? Yes, but that still touches other lives. Then other people are affected, and the cycle continues.
Right.
You know, you never know what the circumstance was. And this is not me advocating for him. This is not me trying to say what he did was okay. And by no means was it okay. But at the same time, I just don't think we should be celebrating death on any level.
And I think it's that... Like, and I talk to people about this all the time, like these slippery slopes and these mindsets that lend themselves to something more evil. I think the same mindset that says that man in Ohio was so evil or did something so egregious that his death was deserved, maybe, you know, you extend that a little bit and you have a police officer that shows up at a party and thinks that maybe these kids had something to do with those shots that just rang out, and now says to himself, because they did that, you know, I can shoot into this car, and if I kill one, I kill one, because they've done something so egregious that their life doesn't matter as much anymore. Is that, I mean, that's how it starts at this point, and then it slides to the point you don't like. So you have to stop it at the top of the mountain, you know, before it slides down into that point you don't like. We have to appreciate life as a whole all the time, no matter what they've done, you know, before, or we just gonna end up in this go for all where, you know, I can decide your life isn't as important anymore.
And see, that's the thing I hate too. It's how easily we make it for people to excuse away and explain away the shit that they do. Yeah.
A murder. At the end of the day, when, you know, when somebody, there's like, no, you said, excuse, when somebody dies, when your action means someone is dead, that person is dead. That person will never walk this earth again. Their mother will never see them again. Their family will never see them again. Never. Never.
It's never okay.
It's not that, you know, it's nothing light about that. It's nothing to just be like, oh, well, you know. When you pull out a rifle and shoot into a car, that doesn't cross your mind that there's a possibility that one of these people in that car will never be heard from ever again.
I'm telling you, we're just losing our humanity, and people are just becoming more and more inherently evil. And this racism and this divide is so ingrained and interwoven into the fabric of our society that it's coming to the point where it's like, I can almost like not see a brighter day. You know, you wake up now expecting bullshit in the news, and you almost don't want to watch the news because you know you're going to see it. But at the same time, you don't want to be uninformed or misinformed. So it's like you have to look out for it in order to protect yourself. It's just, it's too much.
It's too much. But like I said, our motto, and what is TWS?
And some way, shape, or form, we're going to find a way to see the light.
We're going to be the light. Mm. Be the light. So that's what we're trying to do. We're going to appreciate life on this show.
Right. And last one, too. Okay. First crazy. You can finish it. But the last crazy thing, and we're going to talk about something lighter.
All right. Go ahead to the crazy thing, because I want to get to the light.
All right, so last crazy thing. So, pops up in the news the other day. A man takes his girlfriend home. Her girlfriend is an MTA worker. She has 6 kids. Man drops his girlfriend off at home. She's walking to the house. She gets shot. Story the man tells the police is that as she's walking down the block to her home, several hooded men run up. I don't know if they attempted to rob her or what. They shoot her and basically kill her. She dies. He runs out for help or whatever, and she dies. And when they call ambulance, help, whatever they got to do. Everybody thought that was a fishy story, because what man just drops his girlfriend off down a block, doesn't make sure she gets home, doesn't even take her to the door, and just peels off? Like, I take Renee to work every morning. Mm-hmm. I wait for her to get into her store, lock the door, and turn on the lights before I even leave. When I take her home from work, if I'm not coming in and I have to run for the store, same thing. I wait for her to go all the way up the walkway into the door. You know what I mean? And it's not just my fiance, friends, cousins, family members, doesn't matter. If I'm dropping you off or doing whatever, even my homeboys, my friends, if I drop you home, it's inbred. You know, you're going to wait to see that person walk in the door. I'm like, you know, Jared, you know, just throw me a thumbs up and let me make sure you made it home okay to the walkway, okay? You know, I'm rolling, you hit the door, gassing it, boom, done. It's something that's ingrained. You're a man, you look out for your family, you look out for your friends. It's something that you do, and that's not something he did. Right? So they're investigating. Come to find out, they pull up camera footage. None of that ever happened. No guys in hoodies were ever on the block. Nobody ever visited. No dudes, nothing. They weren't there. Whole story's bullshit. They track him down, track down his vehicle. In his vehicle, they find a .40 caliber gun in the trunk, as well as the girlfriend's purse and cell phone. And he's in a win. He's gone. Nobody can find him. This motherfucker, for whatever reason, it seems like, killed his girlfriend, took her shit, and like dipped. Made up a phony report, called the police to try to get it covered up as some bullshit. First of all, what the fuck? If you don't want to be with her, if you're having issues, just leave. You don't got to kill somebody to break up with them. Just walk away. It would have been a lot cleaner.
Is this bad breaker upper number two?
It's bad breaker upper number two.
So we had a 13-year-old girl that faked her death on social media.
That had to make her boyfriend motherfucking commit suicide.
Now this dude is like, I ain't closing my Facebook account.
Nope. So he kills her. Like, he kills her. I don't get it. Like, what the... Like I said, like we just said, people
don't value life.
People just don't value life. And it's sad.
It's crazy though, because I've never hit a person with all my might. Like, I think if I go to swing, somewhere between swing and impact, I'm like, not that much.
Because you never really, like, unless you're literally fighting for your life.
I've never wanted to hurt a person.
I've never honestly really wanted to hurt someone and see someone hurt or just injured or crying or just anything. That's not what my intention is. If we're fighting, play fighting, whatever the case may be, I'm never going that hard, you know. Because why?
Yeah. It's a weird world we live in. Weird world, and I would like to know. For some reason, since you've been blaming everything on millennials, every time one of these stories come out, I'm like, how old was he? How old was dude? Was he a millennial? Yeah, it's that millennial shit. I don't want to keep blaming, because millennials is catching it. Millennials is catching L's left and right out here. I feel bad for them. I don't even want to blame them for no more stuff.
What makes this shit crazier though was she has 6 kids.
Six kids. And I had six kids.
Six motherless kids.
Without a mother.
And that's... And what's crazy, it's when kids go through the system, because a lot of the time the family isn't prepared to take care of these kids. They can't do it. They might have struggled. But even if family was able to step up, I can almost guarantee one family member is not going to be able to take six kids.
So they're getting split up.
So now these kids are going to grow up without their siblings. You know, they might see them here or there if they stay within the family, but now they're going to fundamentally have totally different educations, totally different backgrounds, different schools, different friends. So now they're going to have to fight to stay in each other's lives and get reconnected. And God forbid, you know, they get sent to different states or stuff like that, or have to go through the system. Like, the shit is just, it's sad. And he's not a millennial. He's motherfucking 44.
All right, see. So that's even beyond my generation. So I don't get it. And again, you know, I know gun control is such a weird topic now. Like, people get real, I live in Texas, people get real personal about this gun control thing, but how many people got to die at the hands of weapons? You know, like, I don't know. It's got to be a better way. It's got to be some sort of compromise to be made when, you know, lives are just being taken willy-nilly these days.
People don't care. That shit is crazy.
All right, but to get on...
Yeah, on a better days.
So let's get on the millennials. Let's get on the millennials. All right, because I've tried to watch this video like six times a day, and I can't do it. And I don't know who is the reason I can't watch this video. So I'm a Joe Budden fan. I think I've made that clear on this show. I like Joe Budden as a rapper. I like Joe Budden the rapper. I think he is probably top five rapping right now. Like, that's how much I like Joe Budden the rapper. Joe Budden, the person, not a big fan. Loving hip hop, you know, really. Loving hip hop made me stop listening to his music for a while. Like, that's how much respect I lost for Joe Budden. But he entertains me. I listen to his podcast. I never can make it through a whole podcast because at some point, his ego and his, I don't want to say fault. I think he is an intellectual, but sometimes I. He has the problem that somebody told me I once had. And if I have the same, if I have this problem, I need to work on it. Please, people, help me work on it. Joe Budden's problem is that Joe Budden does think he's smart, but he also thinks everyone else is stupid. He talks everybody else as if he knows he's intellectually superior to all of them. And it's off-putting at times. But he does this show on Complex called Everyday Struggle. And he had Lil Yachty on it. Now, I'm not a fan of Lil Yachty's music. I honestly don't know none of Lil Yachty's music. I think y'all played one Lil Yachty song for me. That Broccoli. Was it y'all to play Broccoli? Somebody played Broccoli for me. It might have been Sophia and them.
Can't get too mad at it, though, because it's not for us. So it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not for us. I think the thing that bothered me about him is that one, I heard him when he was going back to Ebro to defend his Biggie's overrated comments. Where he said something about, you know, he's all about positivity or something. And then the next day, I like tried to look up some of his music and found like a Lil Yachty freestyle where he was talking about like cooking up or something, you know. And it's like, but that's not positivity. And even in this interview, he was talking about, you know, hoes or whatever, and that's not positivity. And he sounds like a pretty well spoken kid, you know, like he's not. I think at one point, Joe Budden asked him like, "You're well spoken. Do you think that people who just listen to your music, that comes across?"
Yeah.
You know?
When I heard that, and I was listening to the video while you were playing it. When I heard that line, I was like, what kind of shot is that to take?
But that's a real
shot. That's a real question, but damn.
Like, you know, you are contributing to a generation of kids, you know, that listen to this stuff and they're not emulating the Lil Yachty that's well-spoken, that was... You know, that was in college.
Is anybody even emulating Lil Yachty?
I think
it's sad if they are.
He's doing Sprite and Target commercials.
Yeah.
Lil Yachty is doing Target. He's doing Target commercials.
That's crazy. This man pushing Target.
He said he's like a designer or something at Nautica. Like, he's got influence. But yeah, I can't make it through. I can't make it through this video. It seems to be like, you know, Joe Budden was trying to, you know, have like the OG conversation with him and call him on some of his bullshit and call him on his contributions to hip hop and maybe make him a better artist or make him more accountable or make him, I don't know what exactly he was trying to do, but it just, the Joe Budden in him prevented his message from getting across. And it prevented me from even being able to listen to the interview. But I'm so disappointed because I think so much good could have came out of it.
Yeah.
I think if a different person who wasn't yelling, who wasn't like making these confrontational statements, like the way you know, when you heard him say that, it came across as a shot and not more like a challenge. Like, you're well-spoken. Why can't you promote yourself to the kids like a well-spoken 19-year-old rather than this mumble rap, I spent 30 racks on a chain, dude? Yeah. So it could have been a moment. And it just failed. But I heard a lot of people talking about it. It seemed like, you know, some people think Lil Yachty won, Lil Yachty stood his ground. And for the simple fact that Lil Yachty remains calm while Joe Budden is going through
that
his
was,
whole
I think that was pretty dope.
Joe Budden esque thing. Yeah, that is pretty dope. And that speaks a lot for him. I just wish it would have been somebody different than Joe Budden, or that Joe could have handled it a little better. Joe really could have held him to the fire and we could have made some change in this millennial music, but I can't stand it. I can't stand it. And I'm starting to understand it a little bit. Like, I'm starting to figure out like how the whole old man or, you know, mom, dad syndromes take shape. You know, when you don't like a genre of music, you don't pay attention enough to the nuances in it. So it does all sound the same to you. It does all sound
true.
You know, when you like a genre of music, you're paying attention to every aspect
every detail.
Of it. You're listening to the lyrics. You're listening to the, you know, the rhythm, the beats. You know, you can hear the nuances and the differences between one song to the next. When you don't like a genre of music and when it comes on, you're not paying attention to any of it. You're just getting it from the surface. It is easy for all of it to sound
exactly
the
same.
And that's, you know, so I think that's what I'm not entertained and I don't like this music. So it does now all sound the same to me. And that's the evolution of an old man. That's how you become an old man. Here I am.
I'm not old.
I'm old, taking antidepressants, living in a city where they stabbing people at the college. I watched a video of a dude get mollywopped on the metro today.
Damn, I'll be 34 in October. Getting up there.
36 this year. Man, did we find some light? Where's the light at? Where's the light at?
I don't know. Russell Westbrook is up for a Supermax deal.
He gonna get it.
$217 million.
You got to pay me, boy.
That's about $45-46 a year.
They gotta pay him.
What the fuck? Could you imagine the tax on 46 a year? That's a lot of fucking money.
They gotta pay him.
It's a lot of money. They gonna give it to him. They ain't got no choice.
They got no choice. They gotta pay him.
They lost KD. They ain't got no choice.
All right, somebody gonna see the light. I don't know, people. Hold your head. It's gonna get better. We'll be with you. We'll be here with you until it does.
If you got something, if you see the light, you let us know. Help cheer us up. Damn.
I'm go out here and play with my daughter.
Tell us something good. Yeah, that's about our time anyway. But yeah, shoot us a line. Tell us something good. Because goddamn it, we need it.
We need it. But as always, ttcharities.org. Please hit up the website. Donate time, money, clothes, books, whatever it is that you have. A retweet, a repost, tell a friend. But yeah, let's help support each other. Let's be our brother's keeper and help take care of one another. ttcharities.org. Please do whatever you can to help that organization make a difference. Make more of a difference than they're already making. And then celebrityhaircourt.com. As always, free shipping and no tax, I believe. All of your natural hair needs, natural hair extension needs. Natural hair extension needs.
You need it, Celebrity Hair Corp. Got it.
Yeah, go get your bundles. Get your bundles. Free shipping, no tax.
Wait, I think I just found some light.
Okay.
Major updates to Zelda Breath of the Wild via the DLC expansion pack. It looked like this dude First of all, I don't. I gotta show you this outfit because it looks like what the fuck.
Is that the Tangle one, the Tangle outfit?
Yeah, with the Speedo and the cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
I say no. Hey. I'm playing Mario Kart anyway. That's my new shit right now.
Not for nothing. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on a Nintendo Switch that's the light right now. I'm gonna go home and play some of that shit. That game is dope.
All
right. I wish I had a second controller.
New poll. Is it Mario or Mario? That's what I wanted to know. New poll. Y'all respond.
Nintendo says Mario.
If it's Mario or Mario.
You saw the old Nintendo 64.
I think that was the New Yorker came out of you. Like,